Independent Business Podcast is brought to you by Honeybook, the all-in-one platform for anyone with clients. Book clients, manage projects, and get paid faster, all with Honeybook. You can use the code podcast to get 20% off your brand new account and let business flow your way. We are back with another amazing episode on the Independent Business Podcast, and this one is very special. This week, we are highlighting an interview that I did with my dear friend, Angie McPherson, who is a brilliant photographer. On her podcast, The Angie McPherson Show, I got to talk about how to elevate your content strategy with storytelling. We explore different storytelling trends and techniques you need to be implementing into your content, and we play a fun game at the end to share some of our favorite storytellers. It was so fun to be on the other side and be interviewed, and you are going to be laughing throughout the whole episode. If you are digging this episode, make sure to check out The Angie McPherson Show and make sure to follow because you will be in for a treat every single week. Now I'm passing it off to Angie. Hey everyone, this is your host, Akua Kanadu, and you're listening to the Independent Business Podcast. More people than ever are working for themselves and building profitable businesses in the process. So on this show, I get to sit down with some of the most influential authors, entrepreneurs, and creators to break down the science of self-made success so that you can achieve it too.
Welcome back to the Angie McPherson Show. I have a special treat for you today. In today's episode, I chat with Akua Kanadu. She's a storytelling strategist who helps entrepreneurs learn how to implement storytelling into their content strategy. She's also the host of the Independent Business Podcast powered by Honeybook, where they do a deep dive into the science of self-made success. I met Akua a few years ago at a conference and we immediately hit it off. It's like one of those types of connections where you start chatting and you feel like you've been friends for years. And you'll definitely pick up that vibe in this episode. We just laugh when we're together. So I was super excited to bring her on the show so she could share with us how you could be using different storytelling strategies and trends to really connect with your audience and elevate your personal brand. She also dives into her story and how she became a storytelling strategist. And you know the deal, we also played a game. I gave her a few categories and had her pick the best storytellers. And I bet many of them you will agree with. This is such a fun episode and I'm excited for you to tune in. Hey friend, and welcome to the Angie McPherson Show, your go-to talk show style podcast for all things business and marketing, where we mix fun, entertainment, and inspiration to help you craft your dream business and life. I'm Angie McPherson, an industry-leading branding photographer, marketing strategist, and ultimate hype woman for entrepreneurs, here to share a decade's worth of knowledge and experience. So listen in for unfiltered stories, interviews with ambitious entrepreneurs just like you, and discussions on marketing, productivity, resilience, and more. Get ready for tips, laughter, and often a playful game to fuel your entrepreneurial journey. Let's dive into the episode. Welcome back to the Angie McPherson Show. Y'all are in for a treat. We've got my girl, Akua Kanadu here. We're about to cut a rug. I just know it.
I am in Angie's house today, honey. Okay, girl, we are about to have a good old time.
Girl, I have Kleenexes right here because I know when we get together, I laugh so hard that tears come out of my eyes.
Did we not just like laugh for a good 20 minutes? I mean, we were supposed to start 20 minutes ago.
We should have started the recording. We should have hit record because we were just spilling some tea. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is so good. Okay, so Akua is here. She's a storytelling strategist. And this is just such a cool career, just a cool business. Like the way that you help people tell stories to grow their business, to build a personal brand. Like, I want to hear how you even got into this, because when I met you and I found that this was your niche, I was like, I've never heard anybody specialize in this before. And so I'm sure a lot of people listening are like, ooh, a storytelling strategist. Like, how did we get here? How did we get to this moment?
Well, back in 1988, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Both of my parents, they immigrated to the U.S. about over 30 years ago. So I was born in New York. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just being the child of an immigrant, you know, your family, your parents essentially just came to this country to, they gave up and sacrificed a lot for their children and to give their kids a better life. Yeah. So immediately from a young age, it was always instilled in me that I was going to do something and I was going to be somebody. And that was going to be, you know, a job with like a title and good pay, right? Ooh, so doctor, lawyer, engineer. Mm-hmm. I think it's really common for a lot of
first gen kids. Yes. Like it's really common for first generation kids to either be a doctor. Like, right, we already have the map set out for you. My mom says this to me on a regular basis of like, I gave up my life for you. So you are going to do something for me. You know what I mean? Right. So I followed the path that I was supposed to follow, but I was truly unhappy. I really, really was. And I was a junior in college. I have a degree in biology with a minor in chemistry. I was getting ready to go into apply for med school. Wow. And I decided, you know, I wasn't happy. Something was missing. I was truly feeling like really empty in my life at the time. But I got a letter in the mail one day where it was like, oh, you know, sign up for Miss Minnesota USA. It was like sent out to just random people. And I just looked at it and I was like, okay. And I opened it and looked at the little brochure that they sent. And I was like, I'm going to give it a shot. Let's see how it goes.
Girl, I would have thought that was like spam. I would have been like, no, this is trash. Like, what is this? The fact that you saw that as an opportunity and took it seriously. Gosh, that makes me think how many opportunities I may have missed out.
Just from not checking your mail, girl. So yeah, I got this like brochure in the mail. It was for Miss Minnesota USA. And I was like, all right, like, let's just give it a shot. So I did research. I started to look of like what it pertains to be in a pageant, what that looks like. And then I ended up finding some pageant coaches. And so I ended up choosing one. And so then for about 9 months, I trained for Miss Minnesota USA. And I did not win that pageant. I made it into the top 15. But it was a really fun, amazing experience. And it was really cool just to see so many talented, amazing women in this pageant system. I mean, it opened up like my eyes to so many things. Yes. And it was really cool. And so I didn't win that one. And I was like, all right, I would love to do Miss Minnesota USA again. And now this was the pageant that Donald Trump owned. So this was the one that's like you see on TV all the time. Right. So yeah, it was that one.
Okay.
And I wanted to do that one again, but I aged out by 3 days.
3 days?
I aged out by 3 days because my birthday is December 28th. And it was like in the year. And then like it was January 1st, the year after. The year after I was born. So yeah, I aged out by 3 days. And so I was like, all right, well, you know what? This was a great experience. Mm-hmm. And then my pageant coach was like, I think you would be a good fit for the international system. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try that. And so I decided to recompete again 3 months later.
Okay.
And then I won Miss Minnesota International, which was really, really cool. And that was a lot of fun. So
this is legend stuff right here.
That whole process was really, even just, it's just really interesting about just our life journey. When we're in the thick of things, we truly don't ever, we think that things don't make sense, but every single step that you're taking is leading you to your next season in life.
Yeah.
Because if I would have never decided to take a chance on this envelope that came in the mail and decided to join this pageant, I would have never started my business. I would have literally been miserable trying to figure out med school and like, you know what I mean? That just wasn't for me. And so when I won Miss Minnesota International, that was an amazing experience. And I had a lot of speaking opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in a pageant, you always have to have what's called the platform. And it's usually generally a cause that you really care about. So this could be anything. And mine was specifically No More, which aims to end domestic violence against women and children. And that was a really personal part of my own story that I just never really felt comfortable sharing. And fun fact, even when I was training for the pageant, I never told my coach for months that my story, because again, we always have to have a platform. And I decided to pick STEM. Like right, science, technology, engineering, and math. Mm-hmm. And it was my background. And so it just made sense. And she finally said to me one day, she's like, that's just not connecting with me. And I like looked at her and I was like, well, what do you mean? And she just is like, she's like, I can just tell it's not something that you're really connected to, that you really care about. So she just was like, you know what? We're not going to train today. Let's just sit down and talk. So I'm talking to the pageant coach and I just tell her my life. She's asking these questions. I tell her my life. And she was like, that's your platform. Like, that's what you need to lean into. And I said to her, I said, I can't do that. Like, I don't want to constantly be looked at where my name and then this is what I'm consistently associated with, because not because I was ashamed, but because of the fact that I think too, I had already moved on. And, but also I'm not being truly genuine. Let me backtrack. I was ashamed. I was right. Like I felt like essentially that I was too broken and that it was too much and that people didn't want to hear it. And my coach just told me, she's like, it's your story is a gift. Like, this is going to genuinely impact people. Like, lean into it. And I said, okay. And so then that's what I started training with. And then I won Miss Minnesota International, which was incredible. Yeah. So like, you know, she pulled that out of me. It was not something that I was forthright coming with.
Right.
And so I would do these speaking opportunities, and that's what I would speak about, was just my own journey and essentially just how can we stop domestic violence against women and children? What resources are out there? And that was an awesome opportunity, because so many people would come up to me after every single speaking event, or I would get emails. Did not matter their socioeconomic background, didn't matter race. Like, they were able to relate to my story in some capacity.
Right.
And I was like, okay, wow, this is really cool. I really want to lean into this more. So I'm getting ready to give up my title. It's in 2015. I'm 2016. So I'm sitting in a coffee shop. It's raining in Duluth, Minnesota. And I just start Googling stuff. And I'm like, all right, like, I know for sure med school isn't what I'm going to, what I want to do, but I'm going to finish. Cause, you know, I was like, all this debt, I'm going to finish.
You got to get paid.
I'm going to get that paper, period. So, but I knew that regardless that I was not going to go further than this undergraduate, like this bachelor's degree. So I was like, all right. So I'm starting to Google, and I'm just starting to Google story marketing. I'm literally using random keywords. I don't even remember what I was Googling, but all of a sudden I came across a website of this girl who looked like she was just living her best life. She had like these beachy curls, very, her website was giving, I was like living my best life on a California beach, just really chill vibes. And
I'm
remember
already, like, sucked into this, like, where are we going? Because
where are we going? Right. This is wild. This is truly a crazy story. And so I look at her website and I was like, I want to do what she does.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot and just email her. And I'm thinking this girl's living her best life out on the West Coast. Come to find out, we literally grew up 20 minutes away from each other, and she lived in the same city. She lived in Minneapolis, lived in Minnesota.
Oh my gosh. What?
Yes. So her and I connected, like, when I came back home from Duluth, we connected immediately. I hurried up, graduated college, moved back down to the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And she has been one of my closest friends to this day and has played such a pivotal role in my business. Like, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. Yes. So shout out to you, Kayla Hollitz. You're amazing. Hi. But yeah, I know, but isn't that right? So, like, she helped me honestly and guided me. And she introduced me, because it was so funny, because she was like, hey, do you want to go to, I finally moved back home, and she was like, hey, do you want to go to this event that, like, a group of entrepreneurs, they meet once a month, and do you want to go? I said, yeah, sure, of course. So I waited. I was like patiently waiting like all month to go to this event. And then she couldn't make it. And I was like, I'm going regardless.
Yeah.
So I like hurried up and like took my backpack and I went over to Lake Harriet. And this is,
I already know where you're going with this. Okay.
Yes, you already know. So like I like took my backpack and I go to Lake Harriet. Now this is a summer in Minneapolis, right? So everybody is out because we have been in hibernation for 9 months out of the year. So everybody is out. So I'm at this lake and it is packed. And I'm just walking around and I literally just see a table.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was about the specific table, because all the tables were packed. There was a group of people all sitting there. But for some odd reason, I went to this specific table and there was this group of women. And I just was like, hey, is this like the group that meets once a month and they talk about business?
Right.
And they were like, yeah. And like, that's where I learned about Rising Tide. And that's where I learned about HoneyBook. And so that whole journey, essentially, I did not have a business when I went to Rising Tide when I first started.
Yeah,
I just showed up every single month. I just wanted to be around these people and soak in as much as I could, because I loved the conversations. I loved the support of the community. Mm-hmm. And it was just really fun, because I was at a time in my life where I was really lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was really lonely. I was depressed. And I was like, I feel like I should have my life figured out, because I also did not do the traditional sense of like going to college right after high school. I graduated at 28. I'm now 35. I already, so a lot of people don't know that either. I graduated at 28. I went back to school at 23, graduated at 28. Mm-hmm. And, right at 28, you think you should have your life figured out. You should have a house, a husband. I was like, I ain't got none of that. I ain't got no job. I'm just trying to survive. Right. I just wanted to keep showing up, because that was the thing that brought me joy in that season of my life. And so then when I finally decided like what I wanted to do, so many people stepped up. They were like, oh my God, Akua, yes, I want to help you with the website. I want to help you with like your brand photos. Like, people within that community rallied and paid it forward with me.
Community is everything.
Everything.
Like, you didn't even have a business. You were just taking action and networking and diving into your resources. And that is what built the business. You didn't go out and say, I'm going to get a business license. I'm going to do this. I can't market myself until this. So many people just like sit in their own Like, they just sit on their hands and they're just like, okay, well, like, maybe one day. Like, no, you were like, I'm moving in this direction and that's what's going to be there at the finish line. Like, I'm just going to take the steps I need to take, get the resources, talk to the people I need to talk to. And then, wow. And this
business. And then, wow. And then I launched my business, and which was an amazing experience. But the whole, everything that I learned from pageantry, right? Like, even just training for the pageant, it's intense. It's not an easy thing to do.
Right.
You have to learn how to share your story really short, sweet, and to the point and make an impression. Because with like Miss Minnesota USA, you had a panel of judges and you only had 2 minutes. Now, mind you, remember, they are literally 2 to 3 minutes. I think it was tops. Yeah. Like, they literally are interviewing, I don't even know how many girls, a boatload. Yeah. So how are you going to make yourself stand out? That was the goal. And that a lot of people don't know this. Like, of course, like what you see on stage, it's beautiful with the gowns and the swimsuits and all that, which is amazing.
Right.
But the girl who wins, wins an interview. That's always the winner.
Ooh. And this is giving Miss Congeniality.
It really is. Like, people, you know what I mean? A lot of people would always think like, oh yeah, brain, like beauty. But I'm like, no, it truly is brains and how well you can storytell. That's truly what it was. So for Miss Minnesota International, I won because of my interview skills and my storytelling. And so Miss Minnesota International, and that one was slightly different. I talked to each judge individually, but that was like 2 to 3 minutes, like each, like you just boom, 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 boom. And so that's truly what trained me essentially into storytelling and that whole process, because I had to take something that was super difficult to talk about, that makes people feel uncomfortable, you know, that is really raw and hard, and really mold it and shape it into something that was more digestible for people to feel and inspire them to take action, inspire them to help others. And so it's truly a muscle that you have to constantly exercise. And I did that for a year and a half with, you know, training, and then Miss Minnesota USA, and then Miss Minnesota National. So like, not a year and a half, about like 2 years. And that's all I did like throughout the whole time. And so it was a really great experience. And that's truly a lot of those skills I carry with me into my business to this day. And 100%. I've learned other things along the way, right, that you keep adding into your skill set. But, you know, it's – I say it all the time. Like, storytelling has never changed. There's – like, the landscape of entrepreneurship is changing, right? Yeah. We know this with AI and all these other things. Oh, but storytelling is always – it's always the anchor point, right?
Exactly.
And now – but now more than ever, it is important. Like, you can't tell me otherwise.
Oh, one thing I want to go back to really quick. When you said that you spoke to the judges individually, did you have to tailor your storytelling technique to each one? Or did you kind of like share this?
And
I feel like that's just an example of business. Like, you have that audience or that platform, and you can't just say the same thing in the same way to everyone at every time. I feel like you really have to tailor your message. So when you said that you went from like sharing your story in 2 minutes to everyone to having specific time with each person, I'm like, oh, I know she probably crushed every conversation.
Yeah, you had
respective to them.
Mm-hmm. And you also too had to, like, I had to be more intentional, because like, you don't really fully know who the judges are. You don't really know, if I remember correctly, you don't really know who they are until you get in the room. And so really paying attention to body language, like little things to be like, all right, how can I tailor certain things? You know, and you adjust it. I adjusted every single time based on the question that they asked me. And that's the same thing with your target audience, right? I think a lot of the times people, you have to know who your target audience is. And I repeat this all the time, and it is such an elementary thing in your business.
Yeah.
But it's literally the core piece in storytelling, because you have to know how to be able to trigger certain emotions to get people to do what you want them to do.
Right.
And so that is a huge, huge piece of storytelling. And so you need to, and I have my storytelling intensive that people, like, if that's how they want to work with me, that's what we do. And one of our first exercises is essentially really breaking it down of who it is that you're speaking to. And I do not care how long you have been in business. I'm always able to identify the gap of where you're not taking it deep enough.
Oh, okay.
Pain point, right? Yeah. Like, you know, we all know, we have to, we always hear that, you know, what's the pain point that where like it keeps them up at night? And people always miss the gap. They say they know it, but they put it in and I'm like, you're right. You're not seeing the full picture, because you have to look at it as how you are transforming their life holistically.
Right.
And like, we are helping them with such a small part of their life, but like, look how that will immediately connect to other areas and make their life easier and free them up to do other things. Right. So you have to really truly look at their whole life, like their life as a whole, and mm-hmm. understand not only are you impacting them in this part of their business, but what other areas are you impacting their life? Because that's also, that's what mainly matters to them.
Right.
So you have to really intimately know who they are. Like,
right.
Breathe what they breathe. You know what I mean? Literally uh-huh. think what they think, like intimately. And I'm very intense about that because it's true. Like emotions are key, especially I'll share like a storytelling trend. Right now, I think authenticity is going to reign supreme. You have AI right now, yeah. right? Where that can easily write stories for you, but AI cannot replicate your emotions or your experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have to lean into those gifts to be able to help you stand out. Truly, because yeah. AI, right? AI is just, ChatGPT specifically. Right. ChatGPT mm-hmm. can write all of these stories, but
right.
truly, it's your experience. It does not carry emotion. It cannot, exactly. it mm-hmm. doesn't have any emotion.
Right.
So it just gives you feedback based on what you have entered in right. and whatever the algorithm has currently been updated to. So
right.
you literally, you are your own superpower. Authenticity is going to reign supreme.
Every time.
That I think that is the biggest storytelling trend. One of the storytelling trend number one for me right now is like authenticity, right. like lean into your gifts. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more like now more than ever, it's so, so important.
Yeah. Leaning in. I feel like a lot of the mistakes I see people making, and I used to make this too before mm-hmm. I woke up a little bit to see what was actually converting, is people are just so, can be so generic and vague. And because they're trying to speak to the masses, they mm-hmm. are kind of diluting what they're saying so that everybody will be able to relate. But when you go deep into either how you feel about a situation, a specific experience that has happened to you, that is where people start to listen and relate, and they're hanging on every word. And I definitely was making this mistake when I first started my business, and I just wanted to like share about me, share my experience, but like also I'm like, okay, well, all these different people are listening. Let me just be very generic. And now that I'm just like so specific, and it just helps so much with connecting with people.
Yes. So let's break that down really quick. I'm really curious to know. So when you said that when you were sharing your story, like, did you just naturally always just share about your business of like, oh yeah, like how I got started and just keeping it very fluff? Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So, right. So naturally what you would call that is like your origin story. Uh-huh. And we've all heard that, right?
Right.
A hot take that I have is origin story is not going to bring you sales. Nobody cares anymore about that origin story. Respectfully. Respectfully.
Right. Respectfully.
Respectfully. You know what I mean? And not saying that it isn't an important thing. I think it's a great story to nurture your audience, of course. Yeah. But if you want to be able to gain clients, you need to be able to show that you have a process that is repeatable and will give people results. And what's that going to give to you? Mm. Data-driven stories.
Ooh,
data-driven stories.
Stories.
Yes. And that is
that down.
Yes. Uh-huh. Data-driven stories. You need to be able to have, because, you know, we can tell when people are being disingenuous. And I think we've seen it a lot in the creative community that people just are not pulling up receipts, right? Like right. people want to know what's happening in your business. People right. want to know, can you give them the results that they are looking for? Now, yeah. your origin story and how you got started. Do I think it's a great thing to share? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to convert? No. Mm-hmm. Do I think that there's ways that you can still make it impactful and make a difference? Absolutely. So I don't want you to think that I'm harping on that. But if you truly want to like convert, data-driven stories is where it's at right now. And that's my storytelling trend number two, is that more people are leaning into data-driven stories. And it was so funny because on social media the other day, my friend Kayla, who I mentioned earlier, she sent this to yeah. me because a woman made a reel and it was so interesting. And I wanted to reach out to her, but I was like, oh my gosh, let me not be a creep. And so, but she had said like, I hate storytelling. Ooh. She was like, I'm just so sick of it. She was like, I just want to share. This is what I can do for you. Here are the results. You know what I mean? And I felt like there was a lot of validity to that, right? And I was like her feelings are very valid, again, because we're not providing the detail. We're putting it in fluff. But I was like,
yes.
It's very fluffy.
Yeah.
But again, it's like what she's describing is like data storytelling, essentially, yeah. right? But of course, like you want to take people through that journey, but like very tactical journey. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's because people right now don't have the capacity to be sitting there and consuming a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that has changed, right? It's a lot shorter. We have a much, much shorter attention span. So Storytelling trend number three, micro stories, I think are huge. Now, do I still think long form content is very valuable and people are leaning into that? Yes, I'm one of them. I do still think they're very valuable. So I don't want to like act like it's not, but try experimenting with micro stories, really trying to make storytelling that's really short, fast, and impactful. Like, right, what are like, and there's so many different ways that you can do it. You can do it in your stories of like just, Angie, you do this all the time. I see you do it all the time in your stories too. People realize they're not doing micro, like they don't realize that they're doing micro stories, but they're doing micro stories. Like you will go in there and share just something really quick, 15, 30 seconds. You go about your day.
Right, girl, I ain't got time. Let me break this down to you. And this might be a little, actually, I feel like a lot of people can agree. I love TikTok because people get to the point. I can press the screen to speed them up. Like, let me tell you something about me. I listen to everything on at least 2x fast. Podcasts.
Same.
When people send me voice messages.
Same.
Sometimes YouTube videos, because I don't know if it's something about me, but I listen better when someone is speaking faster. And I remember when I went to a high school like seminar, a public speaker came and he spoke so fast. And at the end, he was like, I bet you understood every single word that I said. And because I listen to everything 2x fast, I speak fast. And like people listening to this podcast probably say, yeah, that girl does speak really fast. But it's because I listen fast. I think that the world is faster than it is. And so I start speaking fast. But that's the one thing I love about TikTok is that people know how to get to the point. Sometimes on Instagram or Facebook or other platforms, I'm just like, what are you saying? Like, can we get to the main points, because you're losing me here. And so when you talk about micro stories, and how I do that, sometimes I'll film a Instagram story and talk about something and I'll watch it back and I'm like, I can't post that. Like, it took me forever to get to the point. Like, I wouldn't even listen to that. And I'll re-record it again. I even do this in my copy. I will write a whole email to my list or a social media post. And I know that's just the rough draft. The final draft is probably going to be a third of what I just put, because I need to cut out the fluff. People have too much fluff in their messaging and in their storytelling.
Absolutely, I agree. And I think, I also know myself, because I'm also same thing, like I said, guilty. I watch everything twice the speed now, and it truly is, and it forces me to have to be much more intentional in listening. Right. So like, I feel like I absorb the information a lot better. And, but like, haven't you noticed when like somebody's not getting to, I don't even watch, I just swipe up. I'm like, you didn't get next. It quick enough for me. And I just go to the next one. And like I said, I do still think long form content is very valuable. And I do still think that you can share a story longer than, you know, 30 seconds. But again, how are you exercising those skills where like, however long you're sharing it, it's impactful. It's so impactful, right? Because storytelling, I don't care what anybody says, it's so memorable. I just think of last year when we were both speakers at the Creative Educator Conference. Mm-hmm. And is it Liz McCravey? Did I say her last name right? Is it McCravey? Yeah. Okay, She was talking about getting robbed. And I don't believe it. I still remember it. I literally still remember the story to this day. And then you shared with
on every word.
I was hanging on every word, girl. And then you shared the story about you were on, oh my gosh, what is his name?
Let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal.
About this. Yeah.
Right? Like, these were things that you had literally tied into your messaging for your presentation. And it was so good. And I remembered it. And it was so valuable. Because also, too, you took it and you were like, here's the connection between the two. Because you're like, what does robbery have to do?
Right.
This specific business topic, but she was able to blend it so beautifully and people were engaged, and it just made it a lot easier to be able to digest the information. So, you know, but again, it's like you remove the fluff from it. She didn't provide unnecessary details. She made it clear. And the story had one goal, right? Because I think sometimes we get nervous of like, maybe the story, like maybe I need to include this detail so they get the full context. And another trend I want to say is storytelling is not linear. And the thing is, it never was. But now I've seen that people say like, oh yeah, this is a trend. But I'm like, but that's the way it's always been. Storytelling has never been linear. It gives you the freedom and the permission to show up and do and like show up the way that you want to show up. So you don't have to start a story of like, it was a rainy day on October 4th or whatever, right? You can start your story in the middle. What matters is how you're able to hook people and get them to stay. That's what matters. I remember when I was getting ready to speak on stage, my hands were sweaty. I was nervous. I'm getting ready to speak in front of 300 people, right? That's more engaging. That's like, you guys, that was really crappy. I'm so sorry. But like, you know what I mean? Like, that's more engaging if you compare the two of like, it was a rainy day and it, like, you know, out here in a coffee shop. It just really, you can start the story anywhere that's going to be able to hook your audience. Like, a hook is so important. Yeah, that's literally going to set the precedence for your story.
Yeah. And I love how you made the point about, you know, I went on a tangent about micro stories in short form, but of course I listen to long videos, Audible books, you know, I'm watching things that are long, but like you said, even with a longer story or a keynote presentation or a podcast interview, that's maybe 60 minutes plus, you can still cut the fluff so that you are connecting the main points. My sisters, they're going to laugh if they listen to this. One of my sisters does not like scary movies and she doesn't want to watch them, but she knows I will watch every one. And my other sister will both watch it. And this sister who doesn't watch it, she'll come to me and be like, can you tell me exactly what happened in the story? Because I know you're going to get to the main points and connect everything. And people have told me in my family, like, oh, you want to hear what happened the other day? Well, I told Angie, go ask her. Like, even if it happened to them, they're like, let Angie tell you. Even my husband, he'll be like, we'll be at his mom's house. He's like, let Angie tell you this story. And I'm just like, what? Because I get to the point. You have to
get to the point. You know, I'm not going to act like I like am this perfect storyteller, because my sister, if she ever, she calls me out. When I'm calling her to give her some tea sesh, she's like, all right, let's get to it. Like, let's go. Hurry it up. I got things to do. And I'm like, girl, you're so rude. She's like, you take forever. So like, girl, I don't want to make it seem like.
That's how I do my husband. I swear. I'm just like, I need the beginning, the middle, and the end. I don't need all the details.
So now to agitate her, I purposely share all the details.
And I was drinking this tea, but it was hot, but it wasn't too hot. Like, who cares? Who cares about the temperature of the tea? It's too many details.
There's too many unnecessary details. And that's the thing about storytelling. Like, if you are going back and forth whether to keep this detail in, please remove it. Keep it.
I'm already wiping my eyes. I'm over here like cracking.
We're done. Okay. If you have to think about it, just remove it, please. Spare us all.
Because if you have to think so hard about it, imagine how much your audience is thinking and processing the information. Do you want them to process the main points, or do you want them to process the color car that you were thinking about getting? That, who cares? Who cares about the car? What was the car that you got? How much was the car? What does the inside look like? I don't care about the 10,000 options that you I'm done. I'm cracking up over
here. Oh my gosh. I know, but it's so true. Like, keep it simple, keep it clear, y'all. I think that's like the biggest piece. I think again, because it's so much harder to be able to capture and keep people's attention. Yeah. And now more than ever, just keep it short, concise, clear. And like, again, the people that do long form, they do it so beautifully where I'm engaged. I mean, like, I just think of some of the speakers in the creative industry that we've seen. And the thing is, that's why I'm so excited for my quiz to come out, because I revamped my storytelling quiz, because now that the first time I came, when it first came out to now, as even being an educator myself and being on stages with like you and like Natalie, just so many different amazing educators, I have literally watched you guys and see how differently you all storytell. Mm, like, let's use, should I throw in some examples? Okay, I'm gonna throw an example.
Sure.
Okay, so. The very first one of the speak when I went to Creative at Heart, that was my first time ever going. I was doing a breakout session. My first time ever getting like meeting Caitlin Gibbs. I didn't know who she was. I had no clue. Yeah, I love Caitlin. I did not know like anything about her. Oh, I don't mean like, oh, she's really nice. Because I met her like in passing in a hallway. And and then I went to hear her speak and I was like, oh my flipping goodness. Like,
she's incredible.
She's incredible. Yes, absolutely. And she is somebody that I would call like one of the personality in the quizzes, she's a hugely emotive storyteller. Like, she drives with emotion first. That is her.
She makes you feel.
And then I saw her again 2020, later on that year at United. Yeah. And I was like, man, the Kleenex Natalie Frank too. Like, yes. But like, she's very emotive. Like, that's what she leads with. Like, she's very, very good at driving emotion and inspiring people.
Yeah.
And then I like to take somebody like Hope Taylor.
Yes.
She too. Like, I saw her speak at the Creative Educator Conference. Mm-hmm. Hope is a powerhouse. When you hear her, she's going to provide you with a lot of tangible, very like heavy amount of content, but it's so good. And the way that she breaks it down is amazing. But you already know what you're going to get with her. It's jam-packed. She's somebody that I would call more of a magnetic storyteller, right? Magnetic. Like, that's what it is for. She want, like, so I, so many different, like, personalities. Yeah. And then I think of Laylee, right? So Laylee is somebody who says all the time, I am not here to make you cry.
Yeah.
I'm not. That's not my goal. She's very clear about that, right? Uh-huh. Like, and she's somebody that I like to call more of like a wise storyteller. Like, she uses complex ideas and breaks it down into really, really simple, simple steps. Like, everybody does storytelling so differently.
Right.
You just need to lean into your gifts, and then also to then be strategic with how you're utilizing your skills. Because Natalie Frank, I like to say she is more oh my God, what's the other one? I think it's empathetic, because she kind of centers community. Yeah. That's her thing. She centers community more than she talks about her own like, she'll talk about her personal journey. Right. But a lot of the time she's centering others within that, right? So, like, we all share our stories so differently. And that's why I'm so excited for this quiz to come out, because everybody's already sharing stories. But now you're going to get some more deep, tangible tips to help you lean into that current gifts that you have and be just amazing, amazing storytellers.
Wait, so what am I?
Oh, my God. I'm so – okay. I'm trying to think, because
lean into it.
Tell me. I know. Yes. I'm trying to think, because I remember you did such a great job too with the game show. And then, cause yours was on marketing. I do remember that. I remember there was like a little bit, what was this topic again? Remind me. Cause it was a little bit over. I thought it was a little overlap too with mine, cause I went right after you, which was perfect.
I was talking about building a personal brand and how, like you said, how telling your story can really help you. So what I was talking about, and I've actually, if you want to go listen, anyone who's listening, I did a podcast episode, I think it's episode 2, on what being a contestant on a game show taught me about marketing. And so I was sharing the story on stage at this, at the Creative Educator Conference, and really talking to them about how I can relate what I learned from being a personal brand at a game show and talking to everybody and sharing my story and connecting with people on their level and knowing my background, how that helped me to get chosen to be on the show and ultimately to win some prizes. So I talked about that on stage and kind of told people, put yourself out there, like, be authentically you, have stories in your back pocket. Like, I apply for game shows like it's my second job. Okay?
And you be getting in, honey. You get on them. And so even just now, I remember your presentation now. Yeah, no, I would definitely say that you, like, though you and Hope have very similar personalities, you both are very magnetic in just very different ways. Ooh, and so magnetic. Like, yes, queen. Okay. But yeah, but that's, I remember that, because it was so, your presentation was so much fun. Cool. It was so much fun. And I remember I just felt so much joy, because, but that's how you, when you walk into a room though, like you do, you radiate joy. Like, people gravitate towards you. Like, that's a magnetic storyteller. Right. And so lean into that, girl, which you've been doing beautifully.
Girl, I'm
so
over here taking notes, like, okay, I am magnetic.
We'll take the quiz to confirm, but that's what I feel like. All of a sudden you text me like, girl, you're going to be like, girl, that was wrong.
Tell us about the quiz.
Yeah. So like I said, it's my, what's your storytelling style? And so I revamped the whole quiz, literally stripped it down and redid it. Because again, like I said, storytelling has changed and the landscape of entrepreneurship has changed. Right. And then also too, like, so many things that we talked about today, people don't want the fluff. I really want people to get a better understanding of how they share the stories and then also utilize the tips that I give them to be able to actually feel more confident in sharing their stories and how to weave that into your marketing strategy. And the thing is, what I love about storytelling is that it's so transferable. The skills are. So it doesn't have to just be for social media. You can literally use it for doing a keynote, whatever presentation, for your website, however you want to do it. But these tips are going to be able to help you lean into more of your storytelling gifts, because we all share our stories so, so differently. And sometimes I feel like we get so discouraged when you see somebody as like, when, like, you see like us on a stage and they're like, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. There's no difference between me and you. The thing is that you just have to get clear on who you are, what your gifts are, and I'm going to help you do that, but also too in a very tactical way. I think, like, again, I have removed the fluff. Like, I'm not going to act like I've been this perfect educator and this and that. I even myself had to really take a step back. I didn't speak a lot last year. A lot of people don't know it, like, really, that, but I did not. I only spoke at the Creative Educator Conference because I sat back and I was like, I did that last storytelling presentation and I felt good about it. Like, the feedback was great. But I remember I just said, I'm like, it's not the same. It's not the same. And my job as an educator and what I love to do is I want to learn. So I took a step back and I just decided to be a student And wow. I'm so glad I did, because a lot of the things that I have learned and I'm skills that I have applied within the last year have made a bigger difference in my business. And I'm like, you know, you always have to be learning, like, right?
Girl,
like
forever a student.
Always. It will never change. And so I was like, I'm going to take a step back and just keep learning. This is the season that I'm in. And so to come back now and start teaching on the things that I've learned and the things that I want business owners to really be able to take with them has been so much fun. But it's been great.
Girl, I cannot wait to take this quiz. I'm so excited that you put this together. I will put the link in the show notes for everyone to go and take the quiz. Can we play a game? Can we play
a game? Yes, let's play a game, girl.
So the game is, I'm going to give you a category. And I want you to tell me who the best storyteller is, in your opinion, in that category. Okay?
Go ahead.
You just have like five. All right.
Okay.
Rapper. When you think of the best storytelling rapper, who comes to mind?
This is just
your opinion. There's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah. Can I give you two?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I'm writing down what I think. I'm writing down two people. Okay.
Okay. Oh my God. Now
I just want to see if I'm on.
Now I want to give you three. How old? Wait. Oh my God. How many? I'm going to throw out a whole bunch. I'm so sorry.
I have two in mind, and I just want to see if we overlap. So give me the three.
Okay, three. Definitely Tupac Shakur. I mean, we're going to take it back to the 90s.
I love
Tupac. Tupac was a beautiful storyteller.
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of songs that we still remember to this day.
Yep.
Right? Like, how many songs? Say the black of the berry, the sweeter the juice. I said the darker the flesh and the deeper the... Right? Like, we all know, because storytelling within that was literally supreme. It was so good. When we talk about now, so let's move it forward to like a little bit today. I definitely have to say J. Cole. J. Cole does such an amazing job as well. Storytelling. Yes. J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, Megan Thee Stallion, honey. She also too is a very good storyteller.
For the females. I love it.
Yes. Yes.
I love it.
I threw out a lot. Who did you think? Throw it out there. Tell me.
I guess I did have three because Tupac was definitely up there.
Yeah.
Girl, I said, as crazy as he is,
who?
Eminem.
Yes. Yes. Like, yes. He is too.
Like, I remember every word. I can picture the visuals. I think about the music video of, like, him having that stalker. Like, I remember every word.
He was not a healthy man. That's what I gathered from those songs.
And you know who else?
Who else?
I had on my list was Ludacris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, he is such a vibe. And I'm just like, what's he going to say next? Like, he just takes me through the story. But, all of those you listed were... fabulous. Okay, so that was rapper. Second category is a singer. Any genre, girl. Any genre.
I know people want to be like Taylor Swift. I'm not.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm not saying her. She ain't getting that from me. Absolutely not. Mm-mm. I will say, this is a singer, right?
Yeah.
I want to say Beyonce, but specifically her Lemonade album.
Oh, okay. I can see that. Yeah.
Because, honey, she was dropping all types of stories, honey, okay? Because Jay was out here running out on her, and she was letting everybody know. Like, the storytelling and the deep meaning to her songs were so good. But that's what I love about Beyonce.
Come on now, girl.
Come on. Okay. I mean, like, I love songs that just give such a deeper meaning, which is why I love, like, Tupac, J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. But I also love Beyonce. Even her recent album, Renaissance, right? It was a celebration to the LGBTQIA community. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, you know what I mean? I just love a lot of these deeper meanings. And so.
Did you go to her concert?
I did not, girl. I love Beyonce respectfully, but you ain't getting no more money out of me, okay? It's capitalism at its finest. I'm not doing it.
Girl, I went. And
I heard it was great, Beyonce, though.
I think she's amazing. I don't really think I'm part of, like, the Beehive, like, the people that are obsessed. And my sisters actually had an extra ticket, and I went with them. And at the end, first of all, it was pouring, raining. I mean, the show was supposed to start at 8, and it was, like, 10:30. We thought it was going to be canceled. We were literally in the stadium, like, the NFL stadium,
getting
poured on. I just had my hair done for this concert, girl, and I did not bring a poncho to save my life. I was just, like, drenched. And she came out at probably 10:30, 10:45 in heels with all of her, you know, singers and dancers. And she didn't slip once. She did not lip sync at all. And I was just like, I get it. I get what everyone's talking about now. This woman is the GOAT. Like,
she is
crazy. It's crazy.
I did go to her On the Run tour. So that was her last tour before Renaissance. And I only went because I got a free ticket. Look, I'm not a big person. I'm not going to go to concerts. I'm sorry. I love streaming music. I will support. But I'm not paying the amount to pay. I'm not putting no more money in your pocket, respectfully.
Yeah. See, I was a concert marketing manager for 5 years. Every weekend I was at a conference. So I will pay top dollar. Like if Drake, I've seen Drake in concert, but he had one last year that, what do you say?
Was he good?
Oh, he was incredible. He's a really good storyteller too, when he's not whining about what a female
did. I thought about him too, but I didn't want to include him. I was like, you are problematic these days. So I was like, we're good, Drake.
And he had a concert, a tour last year that I wanted to go to, and the tickets were crazy. And I said, if he comes within like a 60-mile radius from me, I don't care what it costs. I am going. Like, there's just something about that energy of an in-person event and like people around you, everyone's like singing together. Like, there's just, it's just like social media in real life.
Oh, it really is. I went to see Victoria Monet when I went to Chicago. Yeah. Put that on my mama.
Speaking of her, the Grammys just happened. Did you see the video where she went up and did her thank you speech? And the Grammys, they were flashing the teleprompter. And this is right on line with what we're talking about. Keep it simple. Keep it short. The teleprompter said, it was flashing. Please stop. Wrap it up. Please. Like, they were cutting the music on her. And she was just going and going and going. And I'm like, girl.
She was going to get her time. Okay. I agree 1,000%. But I love me some Victoria Monet. She was like, nah, I'm going to get my time. She was like, I worked hard for this. Okay. Like, she was like, I worked for this moment. Oh, my gosh.
I was like, that's so funny. Like,
but that is a good example. Wrap it up, y'all. Wrap it up.
Okay, next category is a television show writer, like someone who writes TV shows, if you can think of any. I have one.
Oh my gosh, that's a good question. The writer, whoever wrote This Is Us.
Oh, yes. I'm just saying, literally what I had written down. Yeah. I mean, can we talk about storytelling in that show, falling every episode?
But also, too, just the tactical ways that they did it. Yeah. It was brilliant, right? Just
going from different generations.
Different seasons of life.
Yes.
Just showing the evolution of each character. I love that. That's what I love. I love a good plot. Like, I literally cannot finish movies now if the plot is trash. I'm like, no. I literally won't finish movie. I will literally not finish a show or a movie. Like, I do. I will not enjoy it. I'm like, no. Yeah. I love where, like, the plot just – it was so beautifully done, the storytelling. But also, too, it just shows the complexities of being human. And then I just loved they just tackled issues so beautifully, like with Randall being adopted and being adopted into a white family. And then him also, too, trying to figure out those whole emotions. And then also, too, you had Kevin, the twin, who felt that he was always put in the sideline. And then like that complexity. And then Kate and her issues with her mother. Like just the so many different dynamics and so many stories that were beautifully told within. And then how they all connected to each other and related to each other. Like it just – it's so good. That is top tier storytelling.
Last one before we wrap up. A brand or a business that is really good at storytelling.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I am not a fan of Starbucks, but I'm going to give Starbucks credit where credit is due.
Okay.
And we have an episode on the Independent Business Podcast where we break this down. But they do pumpkin, like the whole pumpkin spice phenomenon is what it is because of storytelling. I personally would never drink. I don't like it. Like, but you know what I mean? And we had Jen Olmsted on the show and we did a really fun episode of the breakdown of the PSL brand. And I have to give that shout out to Starbucks because it's still a phenomenon where people are literally going to get it in the middle of August in the hot sun.
As soon as it hits the stores in August, I'm there. I'm there.
It's you're there too. Girl, I can't. Not you too.
Every year it's like 95 degrees in Virginia and I'm drinking my PSL.
Drinking your PSL. Yep. I mean, literally, that's truly what it is. I don't like Starbucks. I don't drink their beverages, but I know what the PSL is. I know what it is. I know what it is. I know what time of year it is, all that stuff. Because why? Because it's they truly have created an experience. And that's what storytelling is. You are creating an experience for people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people know about PSL but have never tried it, but they know about it. And truly their marketing and storytelling strategies are honestly top tier.
That's a great way to wrap up this game. Akua, thank you so much for joining me today. This was so great. Let's do a quick recap of the three effective storytelling trends that you said. I had that. I literally am typing notes. Second one was data-driven stories. The third one was micro stories. What was the first one again?
Yeah, authenticity is authenticity. Key right now. Authenticity. Micro stories, authenticity, data-driven stories, I think are so, so, and storytelling isn't linear. That's another one too. Like, it's just not. So those are the four that I shared. So I hope this was helpful, but girl, you know, I was so excited when you reached out. I was like, oh, my girl called me. I'm coming, honey.
Girl, you came through. You came through. I cannot wait to share this. And there's so many takeaways that I had that I know everyone else will have. So where can we find you? Tell us your Instagram and I will put your website, all that stuff in the show notes.
Yes. Okay. So you can absolutely find me at akuakanadu.com. You can find me on Instagram at akuakanadu_. I'm also host of the Independent Business Podcast through HoneyBook. So definitely come check out our show over there. It is loads of fun. So that is all the places that you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, friend. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Angie McPherson Show. I hope this episode ignited a fire within you, motivating you to take bold and inspired action. As a gift for listening, I've created a free download of my business toolkit featuring all the essential tools and apps I use to grow my business. Just head over to angiemcpherson.com/toolkit to get your copy. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing and leaving a rating or review wherever you're listening. And if you're feeling extra generous, sharing the podcast with a friend goes a long way. And I am truly grateful for your support. For any resources and links mentioned in today's episode, make sure to check out the show notes. Keep moving forward, friend, as each step takes you closer to your goals. I'll catch you next week for another episode.